there are overwhelming, turbulent times, but that also means there is major potential to fill the cracks with new ideas and to transform these destructive systems. There are specific root causes for problems and holistic solutions everywhere. There is room for prosperity, there is room for regeneration and a shift in values. Another reality is possible, and that's what we're exploring here today. Welcome to Sage Talking.
I'm Christina Hoch. I'm talking to you from Berlin, Neukölln, and I am in the still quite new founded German Compotoy. We're a small team, and I'm especially marketing. But as we are only three persons at the moment, everyone's doing everything.
I'm Jojo Casanova from Zurich, Switzerland. I'm co-founder of Compotoy, so I'm since 10 years already building and renting mobile composting toilets. Currently, my position is more or less communication and sales.
I first saw Compotoy actually a few, like maybe 2 months ago, where I was at an event in Munich, which was called the Climate Camp. It was on the Theresienwiese in Munich, and I actually saw Compotoy there, and I was like, this is so cool, this is such a cool concept. And I've actually seen a similar toilet at an organic agricultural farm I've worked for a little while, and they built that toilet themselves, but it was kind of the similar concept, like the Compotoy. And then I saw it like in this like professional way that you could obviously rent for events, and I was like, this is so cool. And then I actually just came back from Switzerland about a week ago from La Punte in the Engadine Valley, and there was for the event for Year 2040, and they also had Compotoys. And so I was like, this is the second time I've seen them, now I have to find out more about them. And then I found out that they're actually from Switzerland. So you basically had those beautiful ecological toilets right behind, like in front of mountain views, which was spectacular and made it even more beautiful. So maybe you could tell the audience what Compotoy is, how it came to be, and what is the concept behind it.
It's may I, perhaps first I ask you a question, because you said you used it and you obviously liked it or liked the idea, but I'm always curious, what's the experience for you as a user? What did you think when you saw it? What, yeah, was it like?
Well, I think because I've used it once, let's say the self-built version, I was thinking like, oh, you know, you go to the toilet there and you don't flush anything down. I was a little like, what is this going to be like? I have to say, a bit skeptical. But then like the actually using it is so comfortable. And after a while, if you've used it several times, it's kind of not different than the actual toilet. You just swap out the flushing for kind of putting the little wood chips in there. And I also really like the concept of actually how the water is used, because I find with stepping kind of on this little kind of generator to let the water come out, it makes you use water more consciously, because it doesn't come out as easily as if you kind of turn a tap on all the way. And so I have to say, it's really, really comfortable, and actually not, you know, I think many people are a little skeptical because they think, oh, this is such a different concept, but it's actually very comfortable and very clean. Like, it's not like people imagine and think, oh, I'm going on to a toilet in a wooden box. And I mean, I've used the generic plastic ones before that you see mm-hmm. everywhere. And those are, I can say, completely disgusting, whereas Compotoy is not at all. So I actually feel it's very comfortable.
It's very good to hear, yeah.
I guess that's your goal.
Yeah, this was also, I would say, part of the reason why we started our venture, right? I mean, I was working in the development aid before, and there, like, the soil is a very important topic. So in a lot of countries, we have really bad soils. Even in Europe, we lose soil every year. And after I have seen how good quality soil comes out of the toilet, I was really fascinated about that. And when I came back to Switzerland and also was visiting an event, needed to go to the toilet, and then I was standing in the front of this plastic chemical toilet and just saying, like, this is not really a good good solution, right?
Yeah.
for that problem. So that's how I came on the idea to really do a beautiful toilet that also, like, cover that circle, you know.
Yeah, like a circular toilet. And I actually love so much that you don't use any water for the flushing of the toilet. Because, I mean, I think our modern toilets, they use like 6 to 10 liters now per flush. But I think, like, older toilets, if people still have them, they can use up to 15 liters. And for going to the toilet once with how valuable water is, I think that's insane. So maybe you could elaborate. If somebody has never seen a compo toy before, I'm obviously going to link it down below, because you can book it for events and everything, and probably even for weddings, anything. They're really fantastic. But if somebody hasn't seen them before, maybe you can just quickly describe what it looks like and what the features are. How is it built? How does it work?
We build it out of wood. It's actually not a big deal anymore how we do it. I mean, of course, we built, like, the last series, it's 400 pieces. And we really go to a big wood shop. We say exactly how we liked the wood cutted. So it comes from there, I would say, like a complicated IKEA trunk, right? Mm-hmm. And then we need to paint it, we need to screw it together. But if you can do it in that number, you can simplify quite a lot. And of course, there is a few things we really take care of. One is quality, because we are a renting company, so the compo toys usually belongs to us. And if we can rent them more years, then it's worth a lot for us. So quality is for sure one big thing, also because it's standing outside for a long time, and we also have clients, the city of Zurich. There is toilets in places there were a lot of people, so they need to be really stable. And another thing which is really important for us, it's that the user finds himself cozy. You know, this is like what is really missing on the other plastic chemical toilets. So we really want to push this experience on another level for using a toilet. This is what we really take care of when we're building the toilets. And maybe one thing is also important, as we do also the maintenance, which is very important for our clients. For some clients, we do it once a week, for some every 2 weeks. It matters how many people they're going to use.
I don't know if anyone listening knows how a composting toilet is working. So the thing is that we have a small wooden house, really. It's a house with a nice heart and the door. In the classical version, you go 3 steps up. That's for us to have more space down the below the toilet seat for the big box. And then you have clearly the toilet seat, and on the right hand side the wood chips box, because as you said, you don't flush. So you go on the toilet, and whatever you leave there, you just cover with a little bit of wood chips. So this makes that first, actually, who comes after you don't sees what you left there. But it also works as a drying material. Because if you dry up the surface, you don't have any smells. It clearly smells like, don't know, natural wood. So it's not nothing, but it's a quite comfortable and nice smell.
Yeah, and I was quite surprised by that, I must say, because even, you know, when they stand in the sun and it's warm outside, and I think that's so important. Obviously, that, as you said, it has to be comfortable that you say it really doesn't smell bad, and the wood chips really do the job. And I mean, it's quite simple, right? It's just you go to the toilet, you put wood chips on there, and nothing else. And then after, like, basically everything that stays in the toilet, could you explain the process of what is done with basically what is left in the toilets at the end of the day? Because you probably empty them, then what do you do with the material?
So we look on two streams when it comes down to the material. It's like two resources. One is the liquid one, and one is the fixed material we use to tell them, or human output. And the fluid, you can actually do quite easy with the biological process stabilization of the urine. And then you can use it as a fertilizer, like a really standard fertilizer for farming. And with the fixed material, we collect it all together in our storages. We change, or we empty the bin into a bigger bin. And then we put some effective microorganisms on there to prepare them for a composting. It's like a fermentation. And afterwards, we send the whole bin to a bigger composting site because our composting partners, they usually have the right equipment to do that. So they treat the material by turning them. They turn them that the microorganism gets enough air to establish themselves, and like this there will be heat, so they heat it up themselves to 65 degrees without giving some other energy in there. Sometimes they need to water because the microorganisms, of course, they also need some water. And then in the first weeks they turn it almost every day, and then after 3 weeks they can just turn it, let's say, every 3 days, then 4 days. And after 8 to 10 weeks, the compost is finished.
Oh, that's great. And so the liquid materials, who actually, after you have kind of processed them a bit, who takes those? Do farmers actually, like, do they buy them from you? Do you give them to somebody? Like, who takes the liquid materials, and who then takes the fixed materials? Where are they used?
Yeah, the liquid material in Switzerland, we are allowed to sell the processed urine, but there is not such a big request so far that we can sell all that thing. It's really interesting from my point of view because I think we're the first company worldwide that collects like more than 200,000 liter of pure urine. You know, the
Yeah.
problem is from the normal toilet, if you flush after you peed, then you have 6 liter of water with half a liter of urine, and so it's not worth the same anymore. And we're really the first company to do that, and we're really looking for the industrial sector to take that up. You know, it could also be a chemical industry that uses AdBlue, for example. This is also almost made out of urine. So we're still waiting a bit to really have that 100% recycled.
Yeah.
And with the fixed material, it's also not so easy because of the terms. So in that case, it's the same, or no, it's even more difficult to sell it. We're not allowed to sell it, but we can compost it and then people can use it. And this will be just used by people who pick it up, or the composting partner itself they also use some compost.
And so then also farmers and or also private gardeners, they can just use it for fertilization. And is it then sold, or can they get it kind of for free as something you provide as a, let's say, waste material from your business?
Exactly. At the moment, it's more or less like this, that we give it away for free. But we're really working on that this will be settled up in a proper way that we can also sell it.
Yeah, 100%.
This is really a strange thing because we do have all technology to produce safe products out of these waste streams and really upcycle them and bring them back as a valuable material. But still, we are not allowed to do it. So we have regulation problems in here. And in Germany, it's like the Düngemittelverordnung, so regulation for fertilizers. And there, the problem is that if you don't stand on the list with your material, you're not allowed to use it. There are other countries, for example, like Sweden, and here it's like the other way around. If you are not on the no-go list, then you can use it.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. Just as you say, this is actually what I wanted to make my next point. So thank you for seamlessly going into that. I think this is, again, regulation in the wrong place. Because if you think about the fertilizers, the chemical fertilizers, all the really kind of pesticides and also dangerous materials and compounds that are so ingrained in our everyday lives and that are legalized and that are in so many places where we wouldn't even want to know, you know, the health effects they have on us. Something as simple and as natural as, you know, human excrement that can be used for so many things, it is so hard to really make, you know, the new norm to use that again, because at the end we make it trash, we make it garbage, you know, and it's something that is so valuable, has so many nutrients, and there are so many diverse ways in which we could use it, but we make it so, we make the process of kind of its afterlife in a way that is more complicated and which makes this these valuable materials more useless. This is exactly why I think your toilets are such a great idea. And I also want to know, Christina, as you said that the in Germany, in Berlin, that Kompotoy is pretty young. Can you say something maybe about the resonance? What are the reviews? How are people liking it? Who's renting them? How is it received?
People absolutely like it. When I went to the first event, we were in Hamburg on the festival, small festival, and there clearly was there were only people from the sustainability bubble. Absolutely, so they will already be open to these new solutions. But there really were people coming to me as I wear a branded t-shirt. And after they went to the toilet and they said, thank you for this just nice experience. I could just go there. I expected something not nice because I know plastic toilets. It was really a comfortable experience. Thank you for this. And I was really, I couldn't believe it that after you went to the toilet, you go somewhere to thank.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good review. Yo-Yo, could you maybe explain a little bit more? So somebody calls up Kompotoy or orders them online, you drive the toilet somewhere, and then you build them up. You have like kind of you have the toilets on the side. In the middle, you have where you can wash your hands and the water. How does that work with the water in the middle, do you have to, where does it come from? Like, how does the water system work? Do you, because I think you have to fill them up, right?
The water from the compotoys always come from a fresh spring from Switzerland.
I mean, that would be obviously like even more magical.
No, it's a really simple system with like two bins underneath, one with fresh water and one with dirty water. And then you have this small foot pump. So you pump from the fresh water tank to the hand washing place, and then it drops directly into the waste tank, kind of.
And
usually we fill them up in our next storage. So before we leave to the event, we prepare everything and then we fill up the tank with fresh water. And when we're there, it's already filled with water.
And because I mean, like at the event where I was, we had the toilets 4 days. So how long does it last that the water stays in there?
It depends also a bit on the people that using it. The tank of the hand washing station is 30 liters. It must be like this, that you can still transport it if you're alone. And with that pump, you need around 2 deciliter per hand wash. So it's already... I'm not so good in calculation, but let's say 100 times hand wash. But it's quite usual that we give also the key to our customer and explain him a little quick how he can refill themselves. And then they're free. Let's say maybe at your event, you were maybe after the second day, they needed to change the bins.
Yeah,
for example,
just refill it.
In Klima Camp, it was a special case because normally at the bigger events, we do the service. But here, as it was self-managed, the crew, they wanted to do it themselves. So you see, it was after a little bit training, it was no problem for the crew to really do everything about the toilets and the hand washing station.
Yeah, and I think that's great because they're actually built so simply. I mean, there's a pretty good, you have a pretty good overview of how it works. And why is there a foot pump to get water, and why not like a regular tap like you would have at home? Is there a special reason for that?
At home, you have like 3 bar pressure in your pipes. And we don't have that. So you need to do your pressure yourself. Otherwise, there will be not water running there.
Ah, interesting. And the soap, because there's also like your soap in there. What kind of a soap is it? And is it also some, because what do you do with the dirty water afterwards?
Yeah, usually also when we pick up the toilet, we just take them home and empty it in our storage. That's the most of the time. But of course, when we buy soap, we take care that it's 100% natural and biodegradable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so can the water at the end be purified again?
Ooh, it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do it usually.
Okay. I want to ask now, because I think this idea is so great, and actually probably if I built let's say a house or something, and it would have a really old toilet and like maybe older pipes, or if I built a new house, I would actually probably consider having just a compost toy in my garden, because I think the idea is so good. And obviously, if you have a garden, you can use all the materials yourself. And what are the next steps? Do you have any visions for actually implementing those compost toy toilets, you know, in private homes, in, let's say, schools, in companies? Are there any plans there?
So there are several products that are going in that direction, and we also sell some of them, and we help people and communities that want to do that. But I think we're actually at the moment quite focusing on the rental, because you know, we reached you, Stella, because we do the rental. So the people, they really need to know about that, and I think we can have the most impact when we focus on the rental. And for that, we developed a partnership system where we can find partners in different areas, and they can do the service and the delivery of compo toys in their region. So we love to have partners in a specific region. For example, you were at that 2040 event, and this is actually a local company that has brought the compo toy to this event. It's a partner from us. And this is the way we want to grow. We want to find a partner that fits to us, that maybe also work in delivery. They maybe also work in the event sector, or also have a lot of public customers. And this is the way we want to grow, yes.
Yeah, and I can completely understand that, and I think it's a great way, because you obviously get around more and you reach more people. But Christina, I want to ask you right now, the compo toy, you can only rent it right now, right? Could somebody also say, okay, I want to buy one and keep it in my garden, or you know, I have a chalet in the woods, and or I built it anew and I want a compo toy instead of a, like, let's say, conventional a toilet. Is that possible right now?
Yeah, it's absolutely already possible. So the big houses are our main business. We mainly rent them, but we do also sell them, and do this actually in Germany quite often. We have many customers that say, okay, in my garden, I need a solution, and there's no option. I have no room where I can put a composting toilet in there. So yeah, they use our toilet with already room around it. But we also have smaller solutions. We have the Compo Toy Petit that is working if you, for example, have a camper and go for a longer travel. You can use this. And we also have DIY sets for people that want to build the toilets themselves.
Yeah, you have, because I when I looked at the website, you have a whole range of like regular smaller toilets, like you would imagine a toilet. Also some you can take camping, or if you're in an RV or something, that are actually portable that you could take anywhere. And I think these options are really so, so fantastic. I also want to know, are people... Do you feel people are rethinking or starting to rethink? Because, I mean, for example, in construction or things like that, I mean, they always have portable toilets. Do you feel people are really now open to these ideas and saying, oh, if I have that option, I will definitely always choose the circular, more ecological option once they know about it? Or do you feel many people are still very reserved and, let's say, leaning more towards the conventional?
No, it's absolutely a go from all the sides. The point is that, especially in events industry and tourism, they already recognize that sustainability is something that also makes the customers feel well, and it makes sense as a whole package. I go there, I know I'm not destroying anything, but it goes back into the cycle. For the construction sites that you manage, the point here is more that we do have another product with more effort around it, so our prices are still higher, and that's here the main problem at the moment. But mm-hmm. We do also have, so last week our partner Near Ulm, they put a toilet in a private construction site. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, that's really good to hear. Yo-Yo, I want to know now from you, because you just said you were very focused on kind of renting out, going to different spaces and places, and kind of also spreading the word that way. I was just asking the question if at some point, you know, when you kind of feel you've established the renting out part enough, if you have this vision to say, okay, we make this toilet actually a regularly installed toilet also in private homes, in companies, etc. And I thought of this idea because I just interviewed somebody from the Hundertwasser Foundation in Vienna. And I don't know if you know this, but the artist and architect Friedensreich Hundertwasser, he actually had this vision, which he could never really implement, of having these humus toilets that are installed in the apartments of the buildings he designed, where it's kind of like the tenants go to the toilet and then the material goes straight into the garden. He could just never realize that. And I thought that Kompotoy kind of already works that way. Could you see something like that? You know, would this be a vision you would like to, you know, a road you would like to go down and pursue that?
Of course, for me, it would be a milestone. I would put it like this. And Friedrich Hundertwasser is a really nice example, because he wrote a really nice manifest about that in Pfaffikon, which is like 20 kilometers away where I live. Not even 20 kilometers. So I think this would be really, really interesting for us. There are already systems running in multiplex houses, in offices. I have visited some of them. I know some architects who have done that. I'm, let's say, friends with them. So if we would have a request about this from a community or from a private person who want to build one, I would definitely try to help him as best as I can and with all the network I'm familiar with.
There are several milestones to go till we reach this point, I think. So for us, we have our main business, and what we also do is that we are very active in the Netzan and Valu, so two organizations in Germany and Switzerland that do kind of lobbying for changing this regulation. So the first step would be to be allowed really to close the cycle, because then the system is really running, then the idea is really round, and then we could much better look where the rollout can go. But the first thing is that we need a safe space, a safe regulation space for using what we collect.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually so crazy that there's regulation that keeps you from closing the cycle, because I mean, circularity, sustainability, ecological working, thinking, using of materials and resources, I mean, is the number one top thing always. So that's actually crazy. But, you know, sometimes German bureaucracy and legislation is very confusing, especially to me. So I really hope that that will, you know, change soon, not just in this, but in many other aspects. So maybe as a last question, Yo-Yo, you could touch on, when designing the compo toys you've mentioned before, I think also in Japan, they have like ecological toilet systems where they also, I think, reuse the water within the toilet, where it kind of goes from the sink into the toilet, or some sort of circular water system. And I've also heard of toilets that use water, but rainwater collection. So as you said, there are already ecological models out there, but for the compo toy, what were the inspirations? What was looked at, or what were some orientation points for the architectural design and the function of the Kompotoi?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, that was a long, long progress. I mean, when we started, there was literally nothing. I mean, we were looking in the internet, and there was, I remember exactly, there was one toilet, but just like, you know, a little small plastic one with the 20 liter bin in there. And of course, we ordered one to test it and stuff like that. But it was not built to do that, what we wanted to do. We wanted to rent the toilet. And also when we did the first prototype, we did so many things wrong, right? In the second year, we changed a lot of things. In the third year again. And then I would say after the fifth year, the look like it looks right now, almost. And still then, I mean, there were different people helping us in that progress. There, I can't say there is like this factor or this factor. That it was just like what came together in that 4 years of developing that product. But there is not that one thing we were orientating. So my partner, he studied how you say, Umweltingenieur,
something like environmental architecture,
engineer,
engineering,
exactly.
Environmental engineering, yeah.
And we really came together with that idea. We want to have a toilet where we can take the resource at the end and use them again. This was the base where we started, and then we created the toilet around it, and the toilet was changed for this 4 or 5 years quite a lot. And there was always, you know, it was a lot of practical thinking behind it. You know, it must be stable. It must be good for transportation. It must have a lot of capacity that we don't need to maintain it too much. When we maintain it, it needs to be very practical to maintain it. It was a lot of practical thinking. And then there was just that one thing. When a person comes in, he needs to be comfortable. These were the things we were really looking at.
Christina, maybe you could touch on, because you also sell you sell the toilets in different shapes and forms for different uses. You sell like kind of the pyrolysis, like to make soil and to make terra preta, as it says on the website. And there are also so many different composting and fermentation processes. So could you maybe just explain a little what I think? Maybe people don't realize like the importance of these processes and how they're connected to like soil and soil health, and why you can use all of this and why it's actually really beneficial for your gardening and farming.
The point is that we need nutrients. We eat them, and what goes out of our body is actually the rest that maintains and these human output, these rests, you can just use again. So we always have the, as you mentioned, the thinking, okay, I go in the toilet, I want to flush it away, I don't want to see it. But we totally misunderstand that it has a value. And if you really recognize that, we can start to use it, and we can use it in different ways, as we explained. To use it in a professional way is the one thing, but it really is no problem if you have a garden, if you have enough space to safely compost it wherever you are. You just need to give attention to some small things. And if you want to do it, you find everything on our website, so no problem. Or if you have questions, just ask us. Because for us, it's about the idea that we can change things, and the composting toilet is just the vehicle to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, as you mentioned before, all of this is already there. They're generally not new ideas. They're more like, I feel, lost ideas, and ideas that through industrialization and making everything, you know, more complicated and manufactured, like artificially manufactured and chemically manufactured than it has to be. All of these ideas kind of got lost. I mean, at the end, we still use, animal excrements to kind of fertilize fields, etc., amongst chemical, next to chemical fertilizers as well. But I mean, people used to back a few hundred years back, it was not uncommon to also use that, what we regard as waste materials, or you said human output, also, you know, to grow the vegetables in your backyard and to use them in other places. So I think it's not something that people should be, let's say, so skeptical about or kind of repelled from, but it's actually one of the most natural things you can do, and much, much better than that what we're doing right now. So I thank you too so much for coming on and explaining the concept. Also, I want to acknowledge and honor Indigenous and First Nations peoples as custodians of most of planet Earth's biodiversity and bearers of ancient knowledge. I pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and recognize all Indigenous and First Nations peoples' strength, resilience, and deep connection to nature. Thank you.